Welcome to American Mosaic from VOA Learning English. I'm Katie Weaver. Today on the show, we hear new music from Iggy Azalea and Ariana Grande. We also tell about the United States flag. But first, we take a look at some recently recovered works by former pop culture artist Andy Warhol. Artist Andy Warhol was best known for his paintings of actress Marilyn Monroe and a large can of a Campbell's soup. But what few people remember is his experimentation with a computer called the Amiga. Warhol's art on that computer might have been lost if it was not for the work of an art and technology partnership. Marcia James reports.
Keith Baer is a computer software engineer in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Entering the lower level of his house is like stepping into a computing time machine. His big equipment and noisy disk drives have spent years collecting dust in other people's homes. Keith Baer belongs to the Carnegie Mellon University Computer Club. Other club members call him the Amiga guru or expert. The Amiga was a product of Commodore International. Back in 1985, the Commodore Amiga was the latest and greatest computer in the industry. The company got Andy Warhol to demonstrate its capabilities at an Amiga launch party. The artist used its image-making equipment and a revolutionary device, a digital camera.
He took some digital pictures and modified them, you know, before most people had been thinking about digital photography at all.
So we're going to go up to color and pick yellow.
Andy is selecting from the menu bar.
And that was all the public saw of Andy Warhol's computer art. The artist died in 1987. His computer and its floppy disks were put into storage at the Andy Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh. They remained there for 25 years. That might have been the end of the story. But then Divya Heffley of Carnegie Museum of Art came across a YouTube video. It shows Warhol at the Amiga launch.
What computers have you worked on before?
Oh, I've worked on anything. I've waited for this one.
Really?
Ms. Heffley is producing a documentary series called The Invisible Photograph. She knew Warhol's Amiga work should be included.
Those drawings would have been lost.
That idea brought the Carnegie Museum of Art together with the Andy Warhol Museum and the Carnegie Mellon University Computer Club. All three wanted to recover the information from Warhol's Amiga computer. The researchers were filmed as they explored the disks for the first time. Keith Baer said it took them some time just to learn how to use the software.
Not only is it relying on the digital media surviving, another thing that's sort of that we don't really think about is you also need to be able to have software that's able to understand that digital data.
But with some recovery software engineering work, they were able to make the discs work.
There it is.
I think that is a Warhol that nobody has ever seen before.
The famed images of a digital Campbell's soup can and Warhol's picture of himself are just some of the 23 images recovered from the floppy discs. Divya Heffley says the search for the stored art is both a history lesson and a warning.
If we're not careful, technology will become obsolete and we will no longer have the ability to see the photographs, to see the images that we hold so dear and so precious.
The Warhol images can be seen on part 2 of Carnegie Museum of Art's the invisible photograph. It is called Trapped, Andy Warhol's Amiga Experiments.
Tomorrow is Flag Day in the United States. President Woodrow Wilson proposed the holiday in 1916. So again did President Calvin Coolidge in 1927. But Congress did not pass the measure until 1949. President Harry Truman signed the bill, making June 14th the national observance in honor of the United States flag. So, how did the U.S. flag come to be? The United States of America began as 13 British colonies. Each colony had its own flag. But the colonists created a common flag to fight under during the Revolutionary War against Britain. This flag looked a lot like the American flag today. It had 13 red and white stripes for the 13 colonies. It had a blue square in the upper left corner. Inside the blue area were the red cross and white lines of the British flag. On July 4, 1776, the American colonists declared their independence. The United States of America was born. The Continental Congress of the new nation approved a new flag on June 14, 1777. The 13 red and white stripes remained, but 13 white stars replaced the British flag inside the blue area. The stars represented, in the words of Congress, a new constellation. In 1818, American lawmakers approved a law that said a new star would be added to the flag for each new state. Today, there are 50 states and 50 white stars on the flag. Francis Hopkinson, a delegate to the Continental Congress, said he designed the flag. Most historians accept his claim. Just about every American knows the story that a woman named Betsy Ross made the first American flag. Betsy Ross was from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She made flags for many years and was the official flag maker for the Pennsylvania Navy. But this is how she came to be known as the maker of the first American flag. In 1870, a grandson of Betsy Ross, William Canby, wrote a paper about her. He wrote that when he was 11 years old, his grandmother told him the story of how she made the first United States flag. She told him a committee led by George Washington visited her in June of 1776. The men asked Betsy Ross to make a flag based on a design they gave her. The stars had 6 points, but Ross suggested that stars with 5 points would be easier to sew. During the Revolutionary War, several other people were also known to have made flags for the new nation. Among them were Cornelia Bridges and Rebecca Young of Pennsylvania, and John Shaw of Maryland. The American flag has been called different names, including Stars and Stripes, Old Glory, and Star-Spangled Banner.
First things first, I'm the realest.
Billboard magazine says Fancy, from Australian pop star Iggy Azalea, is the top single in the United States for a second week. That is a nice birthday present for the artist. She just turned 24 on Monday. Here is her song, and Catherine Cole with other music news. I'm so fancy.
Iggy Azalea pushed John Legend's All of Me out as top single last week. That song is now third on Billboard's Hot 100 list. The number two song comes from a young woman with a problem.
Ziggy Iggs, I got one more problem with you, girl. Hey!
Singer and actress Ariana Grande released Problem at the end of April. It is the lead single off her new album, which is still in production. And guess whose voice is heard on the song? You got it, Iggy Azalea.
Is this thing on? Oh, I thought they silenced us, yay. Power to the people.
The Bonnaroo Festival opened Thursday in the southern city of Manchester, Tennessee. Kanye West, Elton John, and Jack White are among the stars performing at the four-day music event. The festival also offers parades, art and theater workshops, and other activities. We leave you now with an American rock group performing at Bonnaroo 2014. Here is Vampire Weekend.
You toss aside like a pile of leaves. I gotta find some better weeds. 4 or 5 meters running around the bend when the government may just surround you again. If dying young won't change your mind, baby, 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 ride on now.
I'm Katie Weaver. Do you have a question about American life, people, or places? Send an email to learningenglish@voanews.com. We might answer your question in a future show. Join us again next week for American Mosaic from VOA Learning English.